Welcome to COTR Tardy Takes, a Patreon bonus show that gives quick looks into individual cards. I'm your host, Bard Lee, and with me is Shellen. In each episode, we'll take a look at a single card, and one of us will present a positive aspect about it, while the other provides a contrarian take. Any aspect of the card is open to discussion, like art, stats, or personal experiences playing the card, so don't always expect top-notch analysis. Today's card is from the Angmar Awakened player box. It's Warden of Anuminas. I'm providing the negative side. Shellen is providing the positive side. The randomizer says I'll present first, but Shellen will read this card first.
Okay, the Warden of Anuminas is a 4-cost spirit ally with a stat spread of 0 willpower, 2 attack, 2 defense, and 3 hit points. They are a Dunedain and a Ranger, and their text block simply says that the Warden of Anuminas gets +1 willpower for each enemy engaged with you. That doesn't sound too bad there, Bardley. What's wrong with him?
Okay, so people aren't going to know this, but I prefaced before this episode the channel, I was like, watch out, I might be a little rambly on this guy. This guy is just really weird to me, so I'm going to have a hard time focusing my argument here. But basically what I have written down here in my notes is he has this ability where built around willpower, so you would want him to quest. Yet he's got this stat line that makes it look like you want to attack and defend with him. I don't understand what this guy is supposed to be doing. I just don't get it. I play a lot of spirit, even mono spirit decks. By this point, we should have talked about Hidden Cash, and I've talked about how much I've played a Keldara deck. And you would think I'd play this guy in it because he costs 4. I never put this guy in the deck. This guy confuses me because I think to myself, okay, for me to want to use this guy to quest, I need to have at least 2, probably even like 3 enemies engaged with me. Mm-hmm. But then I have 3 enemies engaged with me. How am I attacking and defending? I pay 4 for this guy. I suppose in Dunedain, I hopefully reduced him with the attachment, but I just don't understand what I want this guy to do, because he looks like, in his sphere and in spirit, 2 attack, 2 defense is like, you don't get a lot of that in the sphere, let's be real. And then you're like, I think I need to use this guy for his stats to attack and defend. And then you're like, but he's got an ability for willpower to quest with. And I'm like, I just don't get this guy, Shell. He just confuses the heck out of me.
I'm kind of with you there. This one seems to me, if you're a Marvel Champions player, you've probably kind of felt this way or heard some people talk about some of these cards that they feel like they were designed with the best case scenario in mind, and then you never actually hit that best case scenario. So this one's like, you know, Spirit's my off sphere probably in these Dunedain decks, because you really need, you know, the other ones more than you need Spirit. So you only maybe have 1 hero, but if you have 2 enemies engaged with you, you can exhaust your Heir of Valindil. And it's a 2-for-2 quester that also has some good combat stats. That's great. But then you just used your reducer that round to reduce like a super overcosted ally. You never really hit that perfect moment very often that this card was designed around. You know what I mean? So I'm with you. He does seem just all over the place.
On that, because you have like 1 enemy engaged with you, you're not going to quest with them. So it's like, because you're like, no. I'm going to use him through that. I only have 1 enemy. So it's like, I'm getting 1 willpower. This guy, not even useful ability.
So then you paid 3 for a 2 attack, 2 defense person, which isn't terrible in spirit. That's great, but you're probably playing tactics too, so you can do better. It's all a mess. Which kind of feeds into my positive here, which might not be as positive as some of our other episodes have had the pro side been, but I love the little miniature sub theme that we've gotten, where other than the Warden of Healing in this game, all of the other Warden cards kind of just suck, including this guy. So you've got the Warden of Anuminas, who we've talked about just being overcosted, the Warden of Helm's Deep, who's a Rohan ally, is also just kind of overcosted and bad as a bad defender, even though he does have Sentinel, but that's blank text box other than that. And then the Warden of the Havens is a Noldor ally that, you know, new players should see coming out in a hopeful Dream Chaser cycle someday, repackaging that we're kind of thinking might be coming. that is also just tough to do, tough to get that attachment on top of your deck to get its defense. So all three of these Warden allies, again, excluding the Warden of Healing, so any person in this game that's a Warden of a place instead of a Warden of a thing is just pretty mediocre and overcosted. So I like the sub-theme there. You can make a really bad Warden deck if you wanted to someday in this game.
Do you think maybe they're themed after, like, bad prison wardens in, like, a video game? You know, like, a lot of video games, you have to do, like, Jailbreak at some point. Maybe, like, GTA or something like that. And you always are just like, these guys are chumps. Like, what are they doing with their lives? They're so bad at their jobs.
Maybe right, or just, like, these guys are modeled completely after incompetent wardens, like, from Arrested Development or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys are just, I don't know. I'm so all over the place episode because this guy is just, I've said, this guy baffles me. I just don't understand his function in this deck. I'm just like, I don't even get.
Yeah, it's funny. There are certain decks, I think, that it can work really well. I mean, I play a decent bit of Dunedain, especially in multiplayer these days. And if you're rolling, he's amazing. Because, yeah, you get him into play for basically free and then he quests for four. But then if you're doing that, you're either teetering on the edge of a knife with four enemies about to kill you, or you've got them snared or something and are in such a win more position that it doesn't matter. So he's a weird card that I think was designed with a best case scenario in mind.
Yeah. Wish maybe if he was like cheaper with less stats, he would be more interesting. Because it would be like, oh, if he like one attack, one defense, and he only costs like two, and maybe only like two hit points or like that, it's like, okay, now he makes more sense. But for this cost, like I said, even in a model spirit deck where I play high costed cards, I've looked at this guy and I've been like, I think I'll just put in like one copy of like Damrot because I'd rather have
the same traits and basically the same stats, just throw a Northern Tracker in instead. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, Northern Tracker eats this guy's lunch. Because right. It's like, for the one willpower, I'm just like, I'd way rather have the ability to just like nuke a whole bunch of locations over the course of the game than, you know, get like two willpower out of this guy. It's like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the real con in my opinion is you just play Northern Tracker instead. Don't play this one.
Yeah, I suppose we didn't even mention. Yeah, he's got the same traits and he's a million times better than this guy. Yeah. Well, with all of that said, we dumped on this guy a lot, but people are gonna have to decide who dumped on him better, basically. Me or you, Shellen.
Oh, I didn't dump on him. Mine was a positive. The Warden deck.
Sure, we'll call that a positive. Okay, sure. I don't think people are going to necessarily agree. I think we both did a negative on this one, so hopefully because of that, people will vote for me. But maybe they won't. Anyway, we'll see people in the next episode. Hopefully it'll be a little bit more focused.